Is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. My name is still Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and here we are into summertime already, and officially summertime, and pressing on towards having a successful and fruitful latter half of 2021. So today we want to let you know if you are interested in doing a concrete or block project in Brevard County, that the folks that you can call for expertise and great value and great experience are the folks at JITS Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804, and they can put their decades of experience, decades of what works, what doesn't work, decades of doing it right. They can put all of that experience and expertise to work for you on your project at a fair and reasonable price, and they will give it their all. They will do it to the best of their ability, and you will not face a very steep learning curve in time, frustration, or lost financial resources. So I encourage you to give the folks at JITS Concrete a call. Do it early. That way you do not get stacked up by, or your timeline does not get delayed due to supply chain issues or contractor issues or any of that sort of stuff. Give them a call. Tell Greg you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So we are in the book of Isaiah today, Isaiah chapter 28, we're going to go over a pretty extensive portion of Isaiah 28. We're not going to do the whole thing. We're talking about right now, what does seeking justice look like? Where does justice come from? What happens when people who are supposed to administer justice are not administering justice and are actually clueless about justice? What does that do for society? Later on, we're going to talk about things that render justice ineffective. And, you know, we can see some of that going on in our own society. And so that will be coming up in the future here. But today we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 28. I'm going to read probably the first 19 verses, just so that you get a context of what we're talking about here. And then we will go back and start breaking these passages down into little nuggets that will be nuggets of truth, revelation, and insight to us about this passage. Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 1 says this: "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which is at the head of the verdant valleys. To those who are overcome with wine, behold, the Lord has a mighty and strong one, like a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, like a flood of mighty waters overflowing, who will bring them down to the earth with his hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, will be trampled underfoot, and the glorious beauty is a fading flower, which is at the head of the verdant valley. Like the first fruit before the summer, which an observer sees, he eats it up while it is still in his hand. In that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people, for a spirit of justice to him who sits in justice and judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. But they also have erred through wine, and through intoxicating drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filth. No place is clean. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear, but the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people who are in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol, we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you. For morning by morning, it will pass over, and by night, And by day and by night, it will be a terror just to understand the report. So I want you to see once again how this passage begins. It begins out, woe. Not as in woe as in stop, but woe as in a lamentable condition. And that is not something that God tells people just to make an impact to his statement. He does that as a warning. See, God doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. And so when God speaks through a prophet and he is admonishing them about the lifestyle that they are living, the character that they are practicing on a day-to-day basis, and it doesn't line up with the word of God, doesn't line up with the character of God or the character of God's people, then the prophet is left with no other message than woe. W-O-E. That is because the prophet's responsibility is not necessarily to tell you what the future will bring as much as it is to warn you so that you return to a vibrant, loving relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's always about relationship. I saw somebody that said, does anybody know where I could find a good psychic? And I was like, that's really not a good thing to be seeking after. The Bible tells us that when people are seeking after psychics and mediums and things like that, that it's really time to be seeking the Lord. And so I didn't have a relationship with that person. I just wanted to say, whoa, that's not really where you want to be looking for answers. You don't want to be looking to a created being for answers, and you certainly don't want to be looking to a fallen, lying, deceptive, destroying created being. You want to look to a holy and righteous God who loves you with all that he has to offer. That's who you want to look to. He not only knows what you are currently going through, he knows the steps he's ordered for you. He knows the future, the present, the past. He knows it all. That's who you really want to be looking to. So Isaiah chapter 28 begins, woe, and it says, to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. Amplified Bible describes this as woe to the crown or to Samaria. And it says, to the crown of pride. I want to show you some of the descriptions that it has here. In verse number 3, it says, the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim. There are two occasions within three verses where the Holy Spirit prompts Isaiah to let them know that the crown that they are wearing on their head is not a crown of beauty, it is a crown of pride. A lot of times when people are doing well financially, when economics are going well, when they are not facing any challenges, when they are experiencing luxury to an unprecedented level, it's easy to get puffed up. It's easy to boast about things that other people can see. It also creates a spirit of jealousy among people because they don't have what you have. I want you to know today that God has blessings for you, that it doesn't matter what anybody else's blessings look like. God's ability to bless you is never limited or hindered because somebody else got blessed. That is a system of Babylon type mindset that says, look how blessed I am, look how blessed you aren't, look how well financially I'm doing, look how poorly you're doing financially. I knew a person one time that told a friend of mine. They said, now look at that over there. That is what prosperity looks like. That's what blessing looks like. And I've got a friend, they were pointing to a bunch of the newer model cars that people were driving. I've got a friend who has a great deal of experience in the car industry. And he told me here in the past year or so, he said, somebody told me that 80 to 90% of the cars that are being driven around are being driven, but there's a huge mortgage or a huge car payment that's attached to those things every month. And so there's literally trillions of dollars of debt that is that people are on the hook for, but they're driving around in something that has the appearance that they are doing better than they really are. I remember a commercial, can't tell you what the product was for. I really don't remember the product. I remember the commercial where there is a guy and he's got this big, beautiful house and he's got the fleet of big, beautiful vehicles and he's mowing his yard on this big, beautiful riding mower. And he talks about he belongs to the country club, and the commercial at one point in time says, I am in debt way over my head. I need someone to help me. And yet everybody would think all of that looks like success. But in actuality, it's bondage. Now, here's the thing about the crown of pride. The crown of pride itself is described as something that puffs up, something that people boast about, they get arrogant about. And the scripture says God detests pride. It's one of the things that in Proverbs that it says God hates, listed on multiple occasions. The scripture also says God opposes the proud. So anytime you hear that the Bible is describing people as wearing a crown of pride, that is not a compliment. It is actually an indictment. It is actually God saying, look, this is not good. The Bible says the only thing that we are supposed to boast about is we should boast in the Lord. God is the one who gives us the breath in our lungs. He is the one who gives us health in our body. He is the one that gives us soundness in our mind. He is the one that provides us with skills and wisdom and abilities to do anything. Without him, we can do nothing. So the crown of pride, that is not something to be boasted of. Because whenever you wear that crown, you are not able to wear the crowns that God wants you to wear. The crown of life, the crown of righteousness. There are a lot of crowns. And so I want to encourage you today, if pride is a major weakness in your life, humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Because humility is a kingdom of God characteristic, where arrogance and pride is a characteristic of the kingdom of darkness. Destruction and a fall are the future path of those who wear the crown of pride. But life and blessing are those who wear humility. So now I want you to know that there's one more crown that is described in this passage, but it's not addressed to those same people. It is talking about the crown that God would give. It says, "For in that day," this is verse number 5, "the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty." I don't know about you, but a crown of glory given by God, given because God is living inside of us, and where he lives, his entire entourage of blessing and provision resides as well. That sounds much more desirable. Through the years, my wife has had a great amount of dental work that has been done. I don't remember how many different crowns that she's got. I told her one time, I said, "Honey, you must have really put up with a lot being married to me for all of these years, because the Bible only talks about 5 crowns and she's got more than that." And I said, "You're extra biblical with the number of crowns that you have." And I can only assume that's because, and she is a phenomenal woman, and she is a great asset at her job. She's a great blessing to our church, to our family. But I will tell you, she is not into many of the trappings that other people in society are trapped by. She's not into materialism. Unless it's lime green, and then maybe just a little bit, but even that, you know, is tempered. It is tamed. It's under control. She's not a person that is lifted up in pride in any stretch of the imagination. She is just a great, great woman, and I'm blessed to be married to her. But I will tell you this: if you are willing to lay down the crown of pride and say, "You know what, the most important thing in my life is my relationship with God," God will be for you a crown of glory. I encourage you to wear that particular crown. Now, a couple of other things about this same passage, verses 1, verses 4, and verses 5, that I want to point out to you. It says, "whose glorious beauty is a fading flower." This is in verse number 1. "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower." Okay? Verse number 3. "The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, will be trampled underfoot." Verse 4. "And the glorious beauty is a fading flower," which is at the head of the Verdant Valley, which is also mentioned in verse number 1, "whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which is at the head of the verdant valleys." Verdant there is a word that means rich. It's a beautiful valley. It's a fruitful valley. And God describes current reality that they are experiencing as something that is fading away. The glorious beauty is like a fading flower. I'm a great observer of people. I find people extremely entertaining. Sometimes frustrating, but extremely entertaining. When I worked in shopping malls, when it was slow, I didn't need a television in my establishment. You know, that was back in the days before cell phones and all that sort of stuff. All I would do is I would go out and I would watch people. I watched young people who had convinced their parents they needed to go to the mall to hang out with their friends. And their parents would drop them off at the front door. And I would watch them. They would walk right out the back door. They would walk in one door. They would go out another door. And I don't know what they were doing, but it wasn't what they told their parents they were going to be doing. And so I was a youth pastor at the time. And you know what I was doing at church? Is I was telling people, hey, don't be doing that. Don't be dropping your kids off at the mall because they're not doing what you think they're doing. I will tell you as a parent, let me just put it to you in quite very simplistic terms. If you're the parent of a teenager right now, you need to be praying. You need to be praying hard. You need to be listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling you, because no matter how good a parent you are, you don't know everything. I've told you the story. One time my brother and I were flipping rubber bands out in the car or out in the street while we were waiting for the newspapers to be delivered. They were running late, so we were having to wait, and so we were flipping rubber bands at cars, and we'd go out and get them because we had to buy those rubber bands, and we wanted to use them to actually fold the papers. And all of a sudden, my mother pulled up, and she said, y'all better stop doing that right now. It was 20 years before she told us, yeah, I had a neighbor that lived down the street, and she called me to tell me what y'all were doing. We thought mother knew everything. I want you to know, parents, you don't know everything that's going on in your kid's life. You need to be having a relationship with God where the Holy Spirit can speak to you and reveal what is going on in your kid's life. Okay? We thought that we did a pretty good job, and yet our kids tell us from time to time, yeah, there were some things that were going on you still didn't catch. You didn't get everything that was going on in our lives. And so I want to encourage you, have that connection, because I tell you all that to say this. When you're young, you think that you're immortal, invincible, and your beauty is never going to fade. But I want you to know that everything that is of this earth has a limited lifespan on it. It's not always going to be young and vibrant and fresh. Sometimes that beauty that you bragged about begins to fade away. Many times, you know, the Bible talks about a beautiful woman without virtue is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Sometimes that beauty can be a trap. It can be a bait for you, and you get allured into a lifestyle that is not healthy at all. So here the prophet says, your glorious beauty is like a fading flower. A flower has a very, very short lifespan. What is the alternative? I told you about the crown of pride, and then I told you about the crown of glory. I told you about the fading, glorious beauty that they thought that they had. What is the godly alternative? It's also in verse number 5, and it says, in that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty. A diadem of beauty. God having God in your life makes you beautiful. Okay? It is not what does the person look like in features or appearance. What is the character of their life like? I mean, every once in a while, here recently, you heard about this a person within Major League Baseball who had made lots of money, who had been very successful, and yet there were some very unbeautiful things going on in his life and ended up costing him his job. Didn't matter that he was extremely handsome or anything like that. He was not a great individual. I can't tell you how many times we see that on the surface things look very beautiful, but if you really peel back that veneer, you find out that things underneath there are not all that they should be. Here's what I want you to know, is that when God is the foundation of your life, it doesn't matter what the surface looks like. There is a beauty that extends all the way to the core of our lives that is revealed over and over and over again. My wife was literally told this when we were dating. She had friends from school and they said, "Oh, don't marry him. You can do better than him." I was not much on the beauty side of things or on the handsome side of things, but if you talk to her now, she has people that tell her the opposite, and it's kind of funny, you know, because it's really, I'm blessed to be married to her. I'm married up, okay? I want to make that very clear. But she has people that come to her and say, "Oh, you're just so blessed to be married to Pastor Bob. I want you to know I'm the blessed one." And so, but it's become kind of this joke whenever people tell her that. Today, my message is simple. Don't wear the crown of pride. Instead, have a relationship with God where he will bless you with a crown of glory. And don't be a person who lives a life where your beauty is fading. Live a life with committed relationship to God where he will be the beauty of your life. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Can move the mountains. My God is my to say, He is my